Our scripture lesson this morning is the Old Testament lesson of Hosea, the 11th chapter, and the first 11 verses. That is found in your Pew Bible, Old Testament, on page 558. And I would invite you to read along with me. I'm sorry? Thank you. Page 794. Thank you. Hear these words then. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with the cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt and Assyria and shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracles, priests, and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they called, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? And how can I make like Admah? And how can I treat you like Zebulun? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am your God, and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord who roars like a lion, and when he roars, his children shall come, trembling from the west. May God be magnified in the reading and the hearing of God's word. A patient love, a patient love. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. I can remember growing up in Sunday school, and we would begin our class by singing, Praise Him, praise Him, all ye little children, for God is love. We would move from our praise singing to learning our memory verses. We learned 1 John 4, 4 and 8, God is love. Or that verse that is a favorite for so many of us, John 3 and 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. As you grow older, you learn of God's love to be an agape love, a love that asks for nothing in return. God's is love. So it sounds so strange to say, we are not sure what to do with the love of God. It would seem so simple for humanity to always be in thanksgiving, to proclaim with confidence and assurance that I am a child of God, for humanity to confess that my life is not by chance, and it is the presence of God that is keeping me. For humanity to say with the psalmist, I love the Lord because he heard my cry. Or for humanity to say, and to mean it with every fiber of our being, to say, God is good, and good all of the time. But we are a people of choice. And when you come to the book of Hosea, the prophet is hearing the voice of God, and God is angry. Angry because God had brought the people a mighty long ways. Hosea is filled with images. And when you look at Hosea 11 and 1, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And as a son, I called my son out of Egypt. The image of a loving father. A loving father who cares for a stubborn son. In verse 2, the more I called him, the more he rebelled. The people rebelled against God, and yet they had to worship something. And so the people whom God loved turned to the worship of Baal. I read that the worship of Baal was attractive to others because it guaranteed the continuance of human life and it preserved the social order. There was also a ritual in Baalism that allowed persons to participate in sexual activity. A kind of ritual prostitution that they might gain favor with Baal. To look even closer, the people had lost sight of who they were and whose they were. God would call for obedience to a strict moral code. The worship of Baal appealed to their sensual nature. The people had forgotten who they were and whose they were. Who they were and whose they were. I wanted to suggest this morning that one of the outgrowths of 9/11 is that we as a nation are struggling to know who we are. And I think the reason is we never thought that it would happen here. Our nation sits between these two oceans, and we seemed immune from the images of terror that we could see and read about all over the world. But 9/11 did. It did happen here. And as a nation, Dr. King's words are so real right now. We must live together as brothers and sisters, or perish as fools. And so, who are we today? Like the people in Hosea's time, we have to come to grips with this question. And as we do, we have to remember, for that is what God says to the people. Verse 3 in the Living Translation reads, "It was I who taught Israel how to walk, leading him along by the hand." But he doesn't know it. Israel doesn't know that it was I who took care of him. We have to remember what God has done for us in our life. C.S. Lewis wrote, "God loves us not because we are lovable, but because God is love." We have to remember, and then we have to face ourselves. That's not easy, to face ourselves. I was thinking about this week when I was in Colorado Springs serving the People's Church, and I went out to get my driver's license, and you know how that picture is in the driver's license. So I got back to church and I said to the secretary, look at this picture. Look at this picture. That's not me. And she looked at it and she said, "No, Reverend, that's you." That's not easy to hear. That's you. God was looking at the people, and God was saying, "That's you." And it was not a very pretty picture. But what was so unique about Hosea was he never gave up. Hosea never gave up. He never gave up that God's compassion could outweigh God's judgment. Hosea never gave up. It is this same love that extends to us. It is a love that extends to each of us. And we have to ask ourselves, what is this love like? I read not long ago, it's a true story as I understand, a father had a son, and he would always bring his son to church. He was a child, really, who was handicapped. And without even any warning, the child would go into violent seizures. On one Sunday, the child had one of those seizures. And the father got up and he went to the back of the church, and the ushers came to help him. But he just sat down in the back of the church and he held his son. He whispered to his son. He kept him, gave him words of confidence and words of assurance until the son came out of the seizure. One of the ushers remarked to another, "It really struck me it really hit me that while the child was having the seizure and while the father was working with the child, there was not one hint that the father was embarrassed. There was not one hint that the father was ashamed. All you could see was a father caring and loving his hurting son. When I thought about that story, this image just came to me, that God as our Father, at our worst moment, God is there to see us through. At our worst moment, God is right there. For when the storm is gathering, God is right there to weather the storm with us. God's love is a patient love. In the aftermath of 9/11, with war in Iraq, with a nation torn in so many ways, and I've come to believe strongly that no matter who wins the election, sadly, we will still be a nation torn in so many ways. But God's love is a patient love. And God's love is right here, right now. Do you believe that? God's love, right here, right now. And so, yes, I was able to sing in Sunday school, praise Him. But you know, even at 46 now, I can say it. I can sing it. Praise Him, praise Him, all ye little children. God is love, God is love. Amen today. Amen. Amen.